Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Three cars containing six Gardaí from NBCI, who are like, you know, the specialist Gardaí in the country, who really are there to investigate very serious organised crime. They had already launched this huge investigation, and six of them landed down in a dawn raid, essentially, at his home, knocked on his door, woke him up, woke his family up, with a warrant to search his house.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
It was an act of kindness during lockdown that ended up nearly costing an honest Garda his career. In May 2020, an officer took a bike from his station's lost and found and loaned it to a pensioner who had been given doctor's advice to get more exercise. But this act of compassion would lead to a three-year nightmare and see specialist officers raid the Garda's home. Today, I'm speaking to Sunday Independent crime correspondent Ali Bracken about how an officer's life was thrown into chaos over a 50-year-old bike. I'm Niall Donald, and this is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. I don't know, Ali, if you ever remember that programme Life on Mars on BBC. It was a programme where an officer from the 2000s goes back in time to the 1970s and the two cultures of policing clash. And I think the case involving this Garda with a bike, it really shows a clash of cultures, because the Irish guards have always had been kind of well rooted in the community, and they've been given a little bit of leeway to maybe help people out or to be involved in the community in a less formal way.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know that program. It might be a bit before my time, Niall.
Yeah.
But you might be showing your age there.
Well, probably.
But, I take your point. Yeah, I think historically, An Garda Síochána, since it was founded, has really been about community relations. And I think because we're a smaller country than the likes of the UK, for example, or kind of closest neighbour, because we're smaller, there's always been a very good relationship between Gardaí and the local community, particularly in kind of rural areas where the local Garda, I mean, you'd know them from the local GAA club, you'd know them from the local pub, you know, you'd know them on a personal level. They kind of be your friend and your neighbour. So that's always been kind of part and parcel of Irish policing, and even in parts of Dublin as well and other cities. It's kind of something, and it's something An Garda Síochána has kind of prided itself on, I think, always.
Yeah,
as
kind
well.
Of a use of discretion within reason. Now, obviously,
Now, obviously,
there's reasons why that discretion has also been abused. But in this case,
yeah.
That discretion, I think almost any human being hearing the story would say, this is an example of discretion used wisely and compassionately. You obviously broke the story, yeah. Ali. Can you kind of give us the rundown of what happened?
Yeah, so I remember getting a call from a contact of mine about this in, I think it was December of last year, just kind of outlining to me that something bizarre was happening in a kind of rural enough area in the Midlands, and that a Garda had been suspended over giving a bike to an elderly man kind of in need. So it kind of took me quite a while to get to the bottom of it, because the information was kind of half wrong in terms of what part of the country it was and all of this. But I kind of eventually got to the bottom of it in the beginning, at the beginning of when I first started writing about it in December. And that seemed to be that a Garda had recently only just gone back to work after 3 years suspended. And his alleged crime essentially was that he'd given an old bicycle that was completely unused to an elderly neighbour in his community, who basically during COVID, kind of at the very height of COVID in May 2020, had no transport. His bike was broken. And in May 2020, like, everything was closed. Like, he couldn't even buy a bike. And I think he even said to this car that I'd bloody buy a bike if I could, but I can't even buy a bike. Like, there was nothing. Everything was shut. It's hard to remember those days, but that's the reality then. And that was the situation. And this man, he'd hurt his knee, and his doctor had actually recommended cycling might actually help. And this Garda knew this man, had to think about it, went and looked in the Garda stores and found this bike, which had been there over a year, which was a very old bike, to be honest. Now, like, it was...
Yeah, I think they put a value of 50 euros, I saw, was placed on it.
Someone said to me it was worth nothing. Do you know what I mean? But it would do the job for this man, you know? It would help this man. So this Garda didn't really think twice, you know? He went to the Garda stores, opened it up, took it out, put it in his Garda van and delivered it to this kind of older kind of man who I think lives in his own in a rural area. And I mean, like, there's even CCTV now of this happening that was later played at the Garda's disciplinary hearing. Like, he wasn't trying to take this away on the QT. Like, he wasn't trying to steal this bike. He, in full view, took it out, put it in his van and gave it to this man. And that was what he did. That was the height of his offence.
Yeah. I mean, and I think as well, like, I think it's been reported that, like, guards have what, in that rural station, they had what was considered a lost and found. And, you know, I don't know, I can't remember the exact figure number of bikes robbed in Dublin every year. It's about 10,000. And most of them, a lot of them aren't reported. People don't even bother going to the guards to report a stolen bike. Sometimes guards recover bikes and they're left there. They might not even be, I think in this case, there was no criminal investigation surrounding, you know, a reported stolen bike. So it was just sitting there with a Garda sticker on it. And, you know, he obviously handed it over then.
So he handed it over. Now, this is kind of where the problem arose. There's a procedure for Gardaí when you do something like this. Now, there's also a rule that the bike has to be, that a piece of property like that, it can't be given out unless it's been unclaimed for a year. Yeah. But this bike had been unclaimed for a year. So he was within his right to do what he did. But what I suppose he failed to do was fill out paperwork to that effect. I think senior Garda management now accept there was no malice in his failure to fill out paperwork. He simply hadn't gotten around to it as of yet. But what he did do, I think less than a fortnight later, it was early June of 2020, he did tell one of his superiors, oh, by the way, I gave XXX a bike. He needed one. So he did actually report it eventually within a couple of weeks. And his superior said, you know, you need to get that back. You didn't follow procedure. You know, get it back and that'll be the end of it kind of situation. And a lot of Gardaí feel that should have been the end of it.
Yeah, but of course, there was a massive other reaction, wasn't there? I mean, basically his home was raided by the NBCI, which are the kind of the elite investigators of an Garda Síochána.
Yeah, so I mean, by the time this Garda told one of his superiors that he'd taken this bike and hadn't filled in a form, essentially. Unbeknownst to this Garda, another supervisor had already reported him to another senior Garda within his station. And this senior Garda had already reported it to the NBCI. So at the same time, he was saying kind of, oh, by the way, I gave this bike to someone, lads. There was already this huge investigation underway, unbeknownst to him. And then within 2 days of him telling one of his superiors, his home was raided. I think 3 cars containing 6 Gardaí from NBCI, who are like, you know, the specialist Gardaí in the country, as you know, Niall, who really are there to investigate very serious organized crime, essentially. And they had already launched this huge investigation, and 6 of them landed down in a dawn raid, essentially, at his home, knocked on his door, woke him up, woke his family up with a warrant to search his house.
Yeah. I mean, incredible stuff, obviously, and people will be, everybody knows about the struggle for Garda resources to investigate all sorts of crimes. So no matter what way you look at it, it seems extremely excessive. Obviously, then what did happen, he was suspended straight away and a criminal investigation was launched into, I think there was talk about, there had been a second bike at some stage that he'd, I think, attempted to give the man, and it was a kid's bike. He gave it back and that was sitting in the station. And a file was sent to the DPP, which was returned quite quickly, I think, wasn't it? By the DPP standards, I suppose.
I'm not sure how quickly the NBCI sent their file, but I don't think that the DPP took very long to say there's absolutely no criminal case to answer here whatsoever. But I think the investigation took some time, and there was a false allegation that this guard had also stolen 2 very expensive bike wheels that were also in Garda storage. Now, there's absolutely no evidence whatsoever to suggest he did. And I think senior Garda management now accept that this was an incorrect allegation completely. And so all of that was rumbling in the background. So I think the NBCI probe actually took some time, because it was 3 years. It was just over 3 years before this Garda was cleared by the DPP. And then he was permitted to go back to work at that point, after the DPP said, This man has absolutely zero criminal case to answer. But unfortunately, it still wasn't over for this officer, because he still had a disciplinary case to answer.
If you consider, anybody would understand that's hugely stressful. But what do we know at the officer at the centre of this? We're obviously not going to name him or anything, but this is a guy who's been a guard for, I think it's a number of decades, 3 decades, highly commended officer. Perfect disciplinary record. I mean, that's the type of guy we're dealing with, isn't it?
Oh, for sure. I mean, yeah, like, I mean, he had his 30-year service done. He could have retired at any stage during this process, because, you know, he had his career was essentially, he was able to leave the force if he so wished. But I get the impression from sources that he wanted to see this out, and he wanted to clear his name. He didn't want to leave under any kind of a cloud, because he's someone who was extremely well liked in his community. You know, his life was completely turned upside down. You know, there was obviously a lot of whispers about him. I mean, why the hell are Garda cars speeding into this rural area and raiding his house if he didn't do anything wrong? And then for it to go on for 3 years, you know, that's a very long time, obviously, to deal with this kind of hanging over you. And then I think there was issues in terms of the NBCI probe as well. Like, a couple of weeks after the raid on his home, he had to meet the NBCI to be interviewed about what actually happened. So it's kind of just seemed to be a litany of issues here at play from start to finish that just caused so many problems for him on a personal level. And I think now it's caused so many problems for An Garda Síochána in terms of why this happened.
Yeah, because since obviously he's been cleared and, you know, the more and more details have come out of the investigation, the cost of it, the extent of it, there has been a severe backlash, not just against Garda management, but also directed at Drew Harris. And the GRA, the Garda Representative Association, have been, you know, put out really, really strong words this week.
For sure. And I mean, in terms of his Garda suspension, like that was signed off on by a chief superintendent rather than Drew Harris himself. But I suppose a lot of people are making the point that, you know, ultimately Drew Harris is responsible for An Garda Síochána and all the decisions that are made within it. So I don't think Drew Harris had any direct involvement in this case, but ultimately he's in charge of the organization. And this, what happened in this instance, is just seen as an example of a kind of complete disconnect between Gardaí and the community trying to do their job and maintain good relations and help people, which is ultimately the job of the guards, isn't it? To help people.
It is, absolutely. And, you know, there's no doubt there is a culture clash going on within the Gardaí at the moment. Like, we obviously, the Drew Harris has come in from the PSNI. There's a very different culture, I think, in the PSNI around that issue, maybe of discretion, and for obvious reasons, because of the history in the six counties, you know. But there is a lot of tension bubbling along, isn't there, within the guards about how all of these internal investigations are going on.
Yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of kind of questions asked about, you know, some of them just seem to go on far too long. As well, you know, and I think it's unless you're in that situation, it's hard to understand the kind of the psychological impact that can have on you to be kind of out of work for a lengthy period of time. And there's always this thing of, oh, you're suspended with pay. That doesn't account for all of your pay whatsoever. Gardaí lose a huge amount, up to kind of 25% of their wages when they're suspended with pay, because they actually lose out on a lot of extras and other bits and pieces, as well as overtime. So they're financially out of pocket. And I mean, most Gardaí want to serve. They don't want to be sitting at home doing nothing. But I think it's a lot of the time as well, it's the kind of questions. It's the people in your community and your neighborhood going, oh, sure, why isn't your man or your one in work? Oh, I've heard they did this, that, and the other. And that takes its toll. And like, let's not forget as well, we need as many Gardaí as we can get out there, you know, at the moment. You know, Garda management it's a constant recruitment attempt, you know, and to have Gardaí just out. I mean, listen, some Gardaí who were suspended and charged with serious crimes, of course they should be suspended. Nobody questions that. But there's certainly perhaps a lot of cases, and this epitomizes it really, which, you know, should be looked at sooner and dealt with sooner so that it doesn't have this impact.
Yeah, and of course, if you speak to individual officers, they have that same problem with GSOC investigations that seem to really, really creep on for years and years, even if, you know, the outcome is almost definitely going to be that they're cleared and it really can hang over the head of people. Also, which the issue of paperwork, like, that is another big issue, isn't it? And that is another culture clash, I suppose, which maybe Drew Harris's focus on that compared with the traditional sort of view of paperwork as not being the, you know, the primary thing to do.
Well, in fairness, I don't even think it's a Drew Harris thing. I think just the modern world, there has to be more effort. You know, particularly because, in fairness, An Garda Síochána has a bad history of keeping records. And that's a problem when people are looking for investigation files and things like that. I think there has been a bad record of all of that. And I think it definitely needed to be improved. But certainly, there's a lot of complaints about the Garda internal IT system and all of that, in terms of Garda having to kind of input the same information almost into a couple of different systems, you know, things not being streamlined properly. And certainly it's kind of a real bugbear of modern policing, of that guards are saying they're constantly, half their job is, you know, half their time is filled out. It's filling in paperwork. And in fairness, the guard at the center of this bike controversy, like I said, he's serving for over 30 years. it wouldn't have been like that, you know, for much of his career. So perhaps an easy mistake to make, you know, to not fill in the paperwork in this instance, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, all of our jobs change over the years and, you know, you have to change your ways. But you can see that people, certainly as they get on their careers, they get used to doing things a certain way. So it's understandable. I mean, what...
Certainly, yeah.
And what are, like, is there any, the consequences of this? It has, like, it's a great story you broke and it really has received a lot of attention, hasn't it? Is stuff going to change, you think?
Yeah, I don't think the story is over at all. I think there's plenty more turns in it. And I think given that this story has really just become such a big issue and really struck a nerve, I think, with people all over the country and gotten so much media coverage now everywhere, I think there are questions that are going to have to be answered about how it went this far and how possibly the conduct of some of the Gardaí involved. Essentially, I think there might be repercussions. I don't think it's going to go away, to be honest. I think there's more to it still.
And do we know the guard at the centre of all this, he's back in work? And
after he was cleared criminally, like he was back in work on restricted duties kind of in the last quarter of last year. So I think it was around October, November. And then he was on restricted duties because of the disciplinary issue. And restricted duties just meant basically he could only work in the Garda station. He wasn't allowed essentially do what he loved, actually, work with the community or go on operations essentially. He was kind of desk bound, which I believe wouldn't have been his speciality.
Yeah.
But so that would have been lifted, I believe, as soon as he was cleared a couple of weeks back. You know, I'm not sure if he's actually returned to work. I think he might have taken a little bit of personal time, understandably. I mean, I think this Garda as well, like he hasn't. I think he's as shocked as anyone by just the amount of coverage. And that's probably quite overwhelming. Like he hasn't been dealing with the media at all. He's kind of he's just trying to keep his head down and get on with things. He's obviously delighted to be cleared, but he hasn't kind of courted any publicity at all. So I think he's probably,
yeah,
you know, somewhat overwhelmed because, you know, he didn't expect this and he didn't seek this coverage at all, to be fair.
No, it's just something I suppose we can all relate to that. And it is, I suppose, everybody's nightmare to end up in that kind of Kafka-esque sort of trial situation.
Yeah.
We don't often reference Kafka on Crime World, but we have today. So, but
there is.
So, well, look, Ali, we'll return to it and we'll see how things play out. And thank you very much for joining us today.
Thanks a million, Niall. Lovely to chat to you.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.